particular, I'm very happy to have my brother-in-law, Micah Strong, is here visiting. He's a student down at Indiana Bible College and lives in north central Wisconsin, so we managed to detour him on his way home, and he's going to sing with me this morning. Just worship with us as we sing. The words will be up. If you want to sing along, go ahead. But just worship with us while we sing.
So excuse me if I can't contain my praise, 'cause I know that I've been saved.
Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me a real love, thank you Jesus, you washed my sins away. Your mercy did for me. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me a real love, thank you Jesus, you washed my sins away. Now I'm living, I'm forgiven, you came and set me free. That's what your mercy she did for me. Every morning, mercy will restore me. I will proclaim, even if the world may fall before me, you wash my sins away. Now I'm living, I'm forgiven, you came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. Your mercy did for me.
Praise the Lord again, church. Thank you so very much. That was very, very beautiful. So I just feel such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place this morning. I know we have a lot of folks missing because of the weather, and we sent out a one call. We canceled our prayer meeting on Friday evening because of the storm warning, and then they lifted the warning. But we have folks that live under where there still is the winter storm warning in effect, or ended at 6 o'clock this morning. We're here. We're worshiping the Lord. And it's just such a great presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. It's so great to have Brother Kyle McConville as our 1-5-spot speaker today. And he's going to share a little bit of his testimony, I'm sure, so I don't want to give too many details. But he's a great young man, married a great young woman from our church, Sister Alicia Thompson. And I'm just excited for them, but what God is doing in their life and how God is using them and their willingness to allow God to use them. That's such an important part. If you want God to use you, you must be willing to be used. And thank you so very much, Brother Kyle, for allowing God to use you. So why don't you come share with us? God bless you. Take your liberty.
Praise the Lord, church. Sorry, you guys can be seated. But. All right, so as Pastor said, I'm just going to be sharing a little bit of my testimony. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says that God brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This scripture means a lot to me because it reminds me of the life I once lived and how God changed my life. When I was in high school, I went to a Catholic church. I had a desire to know God, but I did not have a relationship. I knew about God, but I did not know God. I went to college. I joined a fraternity and got involved with the wrong crowd. And long story short, I dropped out of college and spent years working just so I could spend my paycheck on drugs. My life revolved around the next fix. I would try whatever the world gave me to fill that void in my heart. I remained in this destructive cycle until one day I was invited to this church. Amen. And I have to admit that first day did kind of scare me. This was nothing like the church I grew up in. I didn't understand why everyone was so friendly to me or why everyone was so excited about church. I didn't understand, but I did feel something I never felt before. I know now that it was God's presence. Shortly after that service, I began attending a Bible study with Brother Glenn Uselman. And I received the revelation of who Jesus truly is. And the next service, I was baptized in Jesus' name, and the chains of my addiction were broken. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. I haven't had a drop of alcohol or any drug from that day. That was the first night in years I was able to sleep without some sort of drug. 5 years of addiction broken in one moment of surrender to Jesus. And since that time, I've been so blessed in the 2.5 years since then. God's blessed me with an amazing wife, Alicia. Hallelujah. That's a God miracle right there. And God's blessed me with a great career and many new friends and family here today. But most importantly, God has blessed me with peace, a peace that I could never achieve without him, a peace that passes all understanding. And I didn't understand what that meant, but honestly, it's amazing. And life isn't perfect when you're living for God. You still get flat tires and mosquito bites. The difference is they don't define you. Your mistakes and failures don't define you. God and your purpose in God define you. And God has given me a purpose and a passion and a reason to live. I wake up in the morning and I'm excited about life and I'm excited about what God is doing. And I just want to encourage anyone who feels like you are searching for something or trying to fill that void to give God a chance. I believe that all individuals are searching for a purpose. God gave us that desire. It may be your career, drugs, alcohol, relationships, political stance. There are so many void fillers. This world is constantly trying to sell things to fill that void. Don't get me wrong. The things of this world seem exciting for a time, and they may provide a temporary satisfaction, but it will never fulfill and never truly satisfy you. I just want to encourage anyone to allow God to fill your heart, to surrender completely to him. He is the only thing that can give true peace and true purpose. And when the joy of the Lord is your strength, you are able to overcome any of life's trials. There's nothing in this world that can come close to the fulfillment that living for God brings. Give your heart to God and watch him transform you and your life. And I'm going to end with Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you.
It's exciting, not just to hear, but it's exciting to see, it's exciting to observe what God is doing and how God moves in and out of the lives of people. It just boggles my mind sometimes that God cares enough. We serve a personable God. That's one thing that I took me a long time to realize this. I kind of grew up in the church. Our father was the pastor here for a number of years, but I found out that, you know, I can't make it on his relationship. I have to have my own relationship. And until I realized that if I'm going to make it and I'm going to fulfill that purpose for my life, I can't make it because of his relationship. I have to have my own relationship. And I'm excited about what God is doing. We've been in a series now since the end of December, and this was kind of leading up to our fast. And we've been talking about the power of one's words. And we're getting close to the end of this, but I want to continue on this morning. And Brother Lenny Smith will be speaking for us tonight before he heads back to Antigua. So excited about that. But week one, we've been fasting, and our fast ends at midnight tonight on the media fast. Now, I am encouraging those. If you struggle in this area of where media just, or social media or any type of media just kind of controls, and you have a hard time controlling this in your life, try going another week. Try going all 21 days. It's been established. I don't know where I read this. It was actually concerning toothpaste, that if a manufacturer of toothpaste can get you to use their product for 21 days, you will not go back to another product. So taking that, I don't know if that's why Daniel's fast was 21 days or they just found out that if you're going to a dentist and he gives you Colgate and you can get used to Colgate, says if we can give this toothpaste away to you and you use it for 21 days, then we have a lifetime customer. And so if you're looking to ditch a bad habit, if you can take and follow this media fast for 21 days, there's a good chance at the end of those 21 days that you are not going to feel it necessary to go back and start with all of that garbage in, garbage out. Not saying that everything that you look at on social media is garbage, but let's just be honest with us. Most of it borderlines in that category. At least what you send out is not garbage, but you know how that goes. My wife sometimes will say, "Read this." I'm like, "I don't want to read that." I don't want to read this stuff anymore. But so our media fast, then we switch over tonight at midnight. We add additional two if you're going that route, the Daniel's fast. And there's lots of recipes you can take. You can take and look up if you're going to Daniel's fast. We went out shopping and got all of our Daniel's fast food. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't really care for the Daniel's fast. I would rather just not eat than eat nothing but beans and kale. And I just make a joke about kale. If you're a kale lover here, I'm sure it serves some good purpose somewhere. But nevertheless, I suppose if I was surrounded, if I was like stranded on an island somewhere and the only thing they had was kale, I would probably eat it, okay? Maybe once. And the rest of the time I would make a thatched hut because it looks, okay, I'm sorry. And then we have our praying the word is what we're going to focus on. And then we have coming up is a sacrificial fast, which is whatever it is that you need to sacrifice in your life that you feel that you need to give up. And it may be that's something that's between you and God. But our focus then will be living the word and sharing the word. It's one thing that to be able to read the word. It's another thing to pray the word. But it's very important that we take what we have and that we share it with others. So getting into our lesson, this has kind of been a review. So some of you may say, well, I've heard this already, but go ahead and hear it again, because if you hear it 21 times, it will be ingrained into you forever. So you probably heard the expression, you are what you eat. We've talked about that. Going into the Daniel's fast, you're going to be somewhat healthier you, hopefully. But more precise saying, instead of you are what you eat, would be you are what you speak. And the words that come from our mouth yield much more power than what we realize. We read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of our words. If we realize the power of what comes out of our mouths, many, many times we would be much more careful in how we choose our words. They have the little statement that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words or names will never hurt me. Could be nothing further from the truth. It's not sticks and stones. Yes, they may break your bones, but words can literally decimate a person's life. They can tear apart a marriage. They can tear apart relationships. And so words and how we say them and how we use them are very, very important. We have to understand that when we look into the Word of God, that we can quote the Word of God. But as we quote the Word of God, we must quote the Word of God by the Spirit of God, not by our own selfish motivations. 2 Corinthians 3:6 tells us that the letter kills, referring to the law, but the Spirit gives life. We go into our key passage for this series, and we're reading in Matthew 17, or chapter 7, verses 17 and 18, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins to give warning to his disciples there that were listening of that which was to come. He began to warn about false teachers and against false prophets. And he makes a statement, and the statement reads, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." Now, Jesus oftentimes spoke in parables, and we understand that this is somewhat of a parable type of a speech that he's using, because he's obviously not talking about trees, and he's not really talking about fruit, but he's making a correlation there that if you got a good tree, it's going to bring forth good fruit, but if you have a corrupt tree or a diseased tree, it's going to bring forth bad fruit or evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, the words that we speak, what Jesus was trying to say here is that the words that we speak, what we say to one another, we are identified by that fruit. Many times we will use the vernacular that person has a bad spirit because of the type of a speech that they use. We've all been around those people that are cranky people. We have neighbors that are cranky. We used to have a neighbor when we lived in Shano that was a very cranky neighbor. And I began to realize years later that the reason he was probably cranky was because we three Grant boys lived next door to him. that would probably make anyone cranky. I remember he was very particular about his grass, and he did not ever want us walking, riding our bikes across his grass, and we would purposely go out and sit on the curb because the curb was owned by the city, and we would sit on the curb, and somehow our little tiny, I mean, I think we were four, five, six, maybe. I don't know in that. But our presence out there caused him, his anxiety would increase and his anger would increase. And he did not like us. Imagine that. So his words, things that he said. He was a very angry man. We look at words today. Words, we're identified. We are identified by our words. We look at Christians today who gossip. People, not just Christians, but people who gossip. People who slander. People who backbite. People who curse. That's not good fruit. We all run into those people. We read about Ezekiel, who saw the power of the prophetic word when he partnered up with heaven's agenda by prophesying into a hopeless situation. So there is power in our words. Our words have power when we allow ourselves to line up or partner up with God. And by partnering up with God, God can use us and he can use our words to bring about take a hopeless situation and to turn it around. We can take and the power of prophecy has the potential and the potency to bring forth a supernatural change. We all look at changes in our lives. Brother Kyle just spoke of a supernatural change that took place in his life when he was baptized and received the gift or the power of the Holy Ghost. It is through prophetic words, speaking in tongues, speaking to God in a heavenly language, that there's potency that comes and flows out of us when we step into the supernatural. I believe speaking in tongues is part of the supernatural. We just don't always look at it that way, but we are supernaturally connecting with a God and speaking a language that we don't know and we don't understand, but it's supernatural. We're connecting in with the Spirit of God. And we have to understand that God has given his people kingly authority and legislative power through dominion. When we were placed on this earth, when God created Adam and breathed into Adam, God gave him power and authority and dominion over this world. And we have to understand that God gives us power and authority through his word. Now, there are things that can hinder us. We talk about life and we look at things that can hinder us. And we understand that we fight a battle that is not a battle of flesh and blood. The Bible says that death and power are in the death and life are in the power of the tongue. And Paul charges Timothy in 1 Timothy, I charge to commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning them, that by them you may wage good warfare. We understand it's through our words. It's through the prophetic words that we can step into the supernatural and we can wage good warfare against the enemy. But there are some things at times that will hold us back. You ever have that happen in your life? There are times where that you're seemingly, you're on this scriptural, biblical, supernatural power with God roll, and things seem to be going very well, and then all of a sudden,
something changes within us. Something happens to us. We think the prophetic, we speak the prophetic, we win the battle, but sometimes our thoughts can change within us. There are times where that we come to church and maybe perhaps this morning you really didn't want to be here, that you would prefer to be home and you were hoping for a blizzard. We think about these things, our attitudes sometimes. We can come to church and it just, somebody says something to us or something happens and we get this attitude. We go to work and we get an attitude when we get up in the morning. We go out to start our car and our car won't start. Or we go out and our windows are all iced over and we can't even get in our vehicle and it takes us 15 minutes to get in our vehicle. You see, we think about all of these things, and sometimes we talk, and we use a terminology, and I'm going to throw a word into this. We talk about strongholds that develop into lives of people. But you see, we're more apt to take and talk about a stronghold that we feel that someone else has than actually what is within inside of us or is being built inside of us. Now, you may think about this, but when we habitually begin to think wrong thoughts, each thought that we think, look at it as a brick, and that brick is an opportunity where that the devil, the enemy, takes that brick, that thought, and it begins to build inside of us a stronghold. Now you may say, what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a term that is used biblically, but it's also, you can use it militarily. It's a place where that the enemy, or a spot that the enemy will build in your life or your territory. So if you look at it militarily, a stronghold would be as if the enemy, per se, of our this country would enter into this country and build a fortress or a stronghold where they can take and launch attacks on this country. We look at it spiritually. The enemy builds a stronghold in our life, and he uses that stronghold to continue to launch attacks, to tear us down and to destroy us. See, we have strongholds of fear. Some of these bricks can be fear. Some of these bricks that the enemy uses can be a feeling of hopelessness. It can be disobedience. It can be bricks of frustration. It can be bricks of doubt. And then we allow Satan, actually we give him or release to him the authority in these certain areas of our lives to build up a stronghold. Now, we like to take and look at it and say, well, you know, people come in and they have alcohol, depression, drugs, issues with all kinds of sexual issues and all of this kind of stuff. And we like to look at other people's lives and look at those bad, nasty strongholds of alcohol and drugs, but we don't want to look at strongholds that we can build that maybe are built of fear and of doubt, perhaps anger, pride, some of these other strongholds. We have to understand that we often look at those bad things when we think of them and we think of others and we associate others with those bad things. I don't have that problem. We're going to talk about some strongholds that are probably going to step up activity in your life as we enter in to the next phases of our fast. Because you see, we're fighting a spiritual battle, church. We're not fighting a battle. I mean, yes, you may get hungry for regular food. Maybe you're on just a straight fast and you're not going to do the Daniel's fast. You're going to, whatever it is, those things are going to tempt us. When the enemy of our souls sets up camp against us, understand he often uses something that is very human nature to twist into an addiction or any other form that's going to take a hold on us. So when we look at strongholds, because anything can become a stronghold in our lives, we are wise to be watchful of the areas that Scripture warns us about in particular. We need to dig into the Word. That's why it's important that we dig in and read the Word. That's why it's important that we fast at times, not just the beginning of the year, but periodically through the year as we need it, because fasting oftentimes will bring out the worst or expose the worst in us. See, fasting is like opening up all of those closets that we have in our house that are full of junk because we don't want to reorganize, or we don't want to organize, or someone's coming over and we want to hide our junk. And we quick fill up a closet. When you were younger, it was probably under your bed. It was amazing the things that we kids could stuff under a twin bed. But we were able to do that. We found out that as we got older, we could put our bed on 2x4 blocks and give a little bit more room to stuff a little bit more garbage under the bed. But see, we do that in our lives. We got to be honest. We do this in our lives. And as we enter into a deeper level of fasting, more and more often, some of these issues that we didn't realize that we had allowed to become a stronghold in our lives, all of a sudden begin to show up. And how do we deal with these? We're going to talk about this morning. We're going to take off a stronghold. We're going to take the stronghold of anger. We're going to attack this one first. How many of you have ever get angry? You know, I did something yesterday that I got so angry about. And it was a dumb thing. And, you know, I talked about plowing snow, and I didn't have my snow plow on my machine that plows snow, so I hooked my snow plow up, and it's got this winch that's got a really nice little Bluetooth fob that you can push it, and the winch goes up and down, and the plow goes up and down, and I got another little button you push, and the plow turns angles. I don't have to get out or anything. It's just so nice. It's nice and toasty warm. I talked about this, how it's actually enjoyable to plow snow. And I was getting this all ready because I was expecting to have a foot of snow. I was excited. Yes, finally, winter and snow. And so I hooked everything up, and I got in, and I powered up my little Bluetooth fob, and I hit the up button, and that cable came up, and it's got a big hook on the end of it. And I don't know if any of you are familiar with this, but a roller fair lead helps control the direction a cable is going to go if you're pulling a cable through it. And I had a roller fair lead, and I pulled that roller fair lead, that whole hook, right up into the winch. Well, it's a one-way trip. You pull that winch, that hook, it pulled through that roller fair lead, and now it's stuck inside, tucked up underneath this machine in this steel box, and I can't get it out. So I was a little angry because I forgot to hook that up to the plow. So now I want to go out and plow snow. Now, this is just something that's simple. Okay? This isn't like I'm going to go shoot my neighbor angry. Okay, it's not that. It's not I'm going to run in the house and scream and yell at my wife because of something I did that was stupid. This was just this. Now the only way I can fix this is I got to take the plow back off and I got to pull the whole front end out of this machine so I can get to the winch, so I can get to the roller fair lead. Then I got to pull that apart so I can tuck that hook back through. Because it was only going in one way, because it had 3,000 pounds of winch power pulling it in. It wasn't a real good afternoon. I spent most of it frustrated. But you see, these are things that we look at in life, and as simple as this is, It's little things like this that if we're not careful can take control. Our attitudes can go south. Words can flow out of us that we haven't heard in a very long time. We get ourselves aggravated. We get frustrated. And the enemy is inside. And while he's inside, while we're having this attack of anger, he's quietly building, taking bricks. And he's building up a stronghold of anger. And we don't even realize it, that it's happening. So this is important. You see, anger, we have to understand, anger is an emotional reaction. God created us as emotional beings. We love the fact that we know how we love one another. We love that, the love emotion, all of the various emotions. But anger, see, it can spring up inside of us when we don't even think we have a problem with it. And all of a sudden, something can happen in our life. Some kind of an injustice can happen to us or someone that we know, our family or a close friend. Something can happen, and all of a sudden, what we didn't think was in us and what we didn't see coming is there, and it's there full force. And words are coming out of us that we never, ever, ever thought that we would have to take and hear ourselves say. You see, it can spring up from anything ranging from an embarrassment. We just become exhausted in our patience. It can be an undealt with past hurt. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that going on, even in the church, where people have undealt with past hurts. Hurts that they've just buried, and they refuse to face them, and they refuse to deal with them. And what happens is, while God has given us the capacity to feel anger, we were never meant, and God never intended for anger to control our lives and control our emotions. We live in an angry world, church. I don't know if you figured that out lately. But just have a conversation with someone that doesn't agree with you politically. Have a conversation with someone who doesn't believe the same thing you believe spiritually, biblically. Just disagree with someone on any front social issue today. Just disagree with someone about how many actual genders there are in our country. Get in a conversation and say, well, I just believe there are two, a male and a female. And if you're in the right place, there's a lot of anger. You see, but God says, I never designed the human body to have to deal with the level of anger that it's dealing with today. That's why our health, I know this maybe not what you expected on a Sunday morning, but your blood pressure goes up when you get angry. Did you know that? Stress, when you deal with anger, stress levels increase. I remember sitting there in front of the doctor, and the doctor looked at me and said, well, I had a couple mini strokes, and I was in the hospital, and the next morning after spending the night there, the doctor came in, and he sits down, and he looks over my paperwork, and he's like, I don't have anything written down in this paperwork. What do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a pastor. And he kind of looked at it and said, really? He says, you have a lot of problems with stress. I said, well, yeah, at times it can be a stressful job to have, stressful. And we talked a little bit, and
then another lady joined in the conversation, and she was kind of one of the counselors there at the hospital, and she says, "Well, Pastor," she said, "I have one question to ask you." She says, "If you're dealing with stress and you have some of these stressful issues and things like this," she says, what are you willing to live for and what are you willing to die for?" Basically, what she was telling me is, what part of your life are you willing to let go and live, or you want to hold on to and let it kill you? Then she started talking to me about stress and heart attacks that and strokes that among ministers, the number one cause of death is heart attacks and strokes. And I'm thinking, what in the world? I was safer being a plumber. Working in ditches with 4 foot of dirt over my head, you know. And I was amazed. They began to talk to me and offered counseling. Says, "You can come in because there's so many people in this world today that because of anger, it builds up inside of them and it just stays there. There's no release. And then that turns into stress. And stress can really mess with a person's physical being." I begin to think about all of these things. And I look at Scripture. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes just living the Word of God, it's one thing to read it. We're going to talk about living it, but it's really hard sometimes to live it. It's really hard sometimes when you're tearing apart the front end of a brand new machine and you're because of something stupid that you did. And the Scripture says, in your anger, or do not sin. You can get angry, but don't sin. Watch your attitude here, Roy. Be careful about this now. You got to study this afternoon. You got to preach tomorrow morning. All of these things, the enemy is going to start throwing at you. So, yeah, Pastor. You see, so the Scripture also tells us, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." What he's telling us there is, you know what? Don't get angry and sin. Now, I've told a lot of couples, I try to do this in every wedding that I officiate, that it's very important to not let the sun go down while you're angry. You know what causes most marriage problems? Is because husband goes to bed angry, wife goes to bed angry, and when they wake up in the morning, it's just like a good soup. It's been simmering all night long. And when you wake up in the morning, you're all ready to go because your mind has been thinking about all the various things that your husband or your wife does that really ticks you off. Am I right here? Some of you young people that are thinking about getting married, you need to somehow stage a fight. It's just, I'm thinking of this, you know. I guess you want to know how they kiss, so you kiss them. Find out how they react when they get angry. Boy, I sure would. I don't know that I've ever really seen her angry. She doesn't react the same way that I react. But you see, don't let the sun go down. Don't give the devil a foothold into your life. Don't allow the devil to take bricks that you supply so that he can build a stronghold inside of your mind and in your heart that can take decades to tear down. Be angry and sin not. James writes in his epistle, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." But I found out most people today they're not slow to hear or quick to hear and slow to speak. They're quick to speak. They don't want to hear. They hear to respond. They listen to respond. They don't listen to listen or listen to learn. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I've talked about reading the book of Proverbs, reading a chapter in the book of Proverbs every day of the month, and just keep repeating the chapter. Keep reading it over and over every year of your life. Just keep reading the book of Proverbs. It's a tremendous book. And if you're reading in the book of Proverbs, you're going to run across Proverbs chapter 22, verse 23 and 24. This is what it's basically saying. Do not associate with a man given to anger. I don't like being around angry or hot-tempered people. Or you will learn his ways, and then he will become a snare for you. I've learned in my life, I went through a stage in my life where I was very peaceable, very easygoing, and allowed influences. And it's funny how those influences didn't take on the peaceable attitude that I had. I took on the anger attitude that they had. And before you know it, I'm angry all the time. And I'm an angry person. I'm angry with my life, and I'm angry with my everything around me. I went around angry all the time. Anger might be easy and it might be natural, but it can quickly become a stronghold. And if we allow Satan to gain a foothold, we're going to stop at the anger here this morning, and we can have our musicians come. See, when we hang out with angry people, Scripture tells us that in the end it will become a snare or a trap for us. And over the next 2 weeks of our fast, we're probably going to see within us perhaps points of anger, things that we thought that we had resolved. You can stand. That we had resolved in our lives. Yep, I don't have to deal with that anymore. I haven't had a bout with that. And then all of a sudden, one foolish move, one silly mistake, you go out to open up your car and your key breaks off because the lock's frozen. Most people that have anger issues aren't going to step back and thank the Lord for that. I'm just trying to be real this morning. The Bible says, do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourselves. Don't be a snare for other people. Don't be a snare for your children, for your wife, your family. So as we enter in, there's so many things that are good in us. Did you know that? There's so many things that are good in us. But all it takes is one bad moment, one moment of anger, and our words, instead of being words of comfort, words of love, and words of peace, they become daggers. Become arrows that we launch out, and a relationship can be destroyed in just a matter of minutes. You see, once you say something in anger, you don't get that back. Did you know that? It's real easy for us sometimes to just say, I was angry, forget about it. When the other person is thinking, yeah, but this is the third or fourth time you said this to me. Obviously, there's an issue somewhere. So as we close out this morning, I'm just going to give us an opportunity. This is more a self
searching time. What is it in me, God? Is there anything in me over the last week? I've been angry, frustrated with. I need help. I need help. You see, we're here because this is a hospital for people that are broken. So as our praise team, Sister Alicia, as she begins to sing, I just want to open up this altar for us to just come. Maybe as a husband and wife, you're going through some battles together. You want to pray together. Maybe you're dealing with family situations. I don't know. Maybe the fast is bringing out the worst in you. We're going to continue on this on Wednesday evening. We're going to talk about anxiety. Maybe you don't have the relationship you would like to have with the Lord this morning. Just want to invite you to start. We have to start somewhere.